This is a similar train of thought. You mentioned that darkness is marked by fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, thankfulness, unthankfulness, and so on. But how can I practically avoid these things when many of them almost happen naturally, like a second nature? You mentioned that darkness is marked by fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, unthankfulness, and so on. But how can I practically avoid these things when many of them almost happen naturally, like a second nature? So that reference was Ephesians chapter 5, I believe.
The presupposition in the question is that these things happen naturally. Well, I would take exception to the fact that they happen naturally. They happen naturally for the unregenerate, for the unbeliever. For the believer, Paul says to the Corinthians, such were some of you. The book of Ephesians, before he gets to chapter 5 and says, this is what you were, or these are the unfruitful works of darkness, he tells us about the grace of God that raises us up and seats us in heavenly places. So it's not natural. Now, the reality is that the source that pursues and desires these things is the flesh that remains in us. And so as one, it's been a popular statement, what do you want to feed? What do you want to nurture? I was supposed to say, talk about this verse in Romans 6, where it talks about you were once servants of sin, servants of darkness. Your members, your body, you use them to further those interests. But now you have made servants of righteousness, and now you yield your members to do the things that are characterized by righteousness. So the idea that these things come naturally, they only come naturally to the flesh. And we are not in the flesh. If we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are not in the flesh. We are now the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We have a whole different life in us.
I think Brother Mark brought it out very nicely, and it depends on what side this question is coming from. If you are an unbeliever, as has been mentioned, it is something that will be very natural to you. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do in terms of to get away from that kind of thing is you need to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal indwelling Savior. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God will give you a new life with new desires, new ways. So if the question is coming from someone that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, you need to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal indwelling Savior. When it comes to the believer, on the believer side of things, there's a verse in Galatians that may be helpful for us in Galatians 5. In verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay, so in terms of dealing with these sinful cravings or desires and so on, God has given us the Spirit, and we're challenged here to walk in the Spirit Because the Spirit does the opposite, or would move us to the opposite of what the flesh wants to do. As young people, yes, as brought out today, there are struggles that we have. There's different things that we may face. There's things that you may be facing internally. You may be struggling with things, and you may be scared to even tell people about the struggles because, quote-unquote, we're brethren, we're Christians, and you may feel that, oh, I can't say anything to this brother or sister because I'm not expected to have these struggles. But God has provided us the resource of the Spirit of God, and as you would lean and, you know, pray for God for help in these things, the Spirit of God would lead you away from these things. And instead of having these fleshly desires, He would give you godly desires and help you with these struggles that you're facing. So in Galatians we have, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then also in verse 25 it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we're challenged here to walk in the Spirit in terms of dealing with these, maybe these inner desires that you're having that may be a struggle.
Yeah, I think that has answered the question. Just want to say that it's a battle that we face, not a playground, and that the enemy attacks any one of us, whether you are a child of God or you're not, but it was rightly expressed, if you do not know the Lord, then these things will happen to you naturally. But if you know the Lord, they could still appeal to you, but there's victory over that. So I'll just read two verses quickly for you. In Colossians chapter 3, and he was speaking of all these things that are happening, like verse 5, Colossians chapter 3, verse, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, etc., etc. And then in verse 8 he says, but now ye also put off all these things. And he tells us, like, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, etc., etc. And verse 10 says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So it is saying that we need, as young believers or true believers, we will be tempted, but we can disrobe the old man, and we can display the new man. And it's all by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to encourage you, though, that if you're going through trials, temptations, you have an addiction, whatever it might be, the Lord knows about it, and it's good that this question is asked. I just want to encourage you in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So if you're not a Christian, as our brother pointed out, you need to first receive the Lord so that you have the Holy Spirit. And he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If you're a Christian and you're struggling with these things, then you need to know how to overcome temptation. And we can overcome temptation by using the word. The Lord Jesus, he overcame the enemy by speaking the word. We can overcome temptation by fleeing from the situation, depends on what it is. If it's a computer, if it's being alone, being, you know, the access and the various things, we can, like Joseph, flee from it. And then it says, John says, we overcome through faith. So if you're going through a temptation today, I want you to know that God is faithful and he is able to deliver you. If you're a Christian, go to him and tell him about it. And I'm telling you with all confidence, he's not there to condemn you. As you confess, he's faithful and just to forgive. So may the Lord encourage the person who asked this question. If you don't know the Lord, then make sure you have a relationship with him. And if you know the Lord and you're struggling with temptations, then you want to really tell the Lord about it, and then you want to rely on the Word of God, and then you want to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to give you victory over this temptation, and then you want to refocus not on yourself and your sin, refocus on the Lord Jesus Christ.
I could just make one more point with regards to if this question comes from a person who's a believer who's really struggling.
Yes.
There's a very practical exhortation in Romans chapter chapter 13, the last verse of the chapter. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If I have a struggle, I have to be very intentional to know what the triggers are to that struggle and to, with purpose of heart, avoid them. It says, make no provision for the flesh. Don't even go there. Don't even entertain it. Don't even pursue it. Don't even make any inclination toward it, because this is where the enemy can get an advantage. He says, make no provision of the flesh. Be occupied. Have a vision. Have a desire that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to replace that desire and make no provision for the flesh.
Thank you for those answers. Perhaps I could also just give a little practical example of something that I experienced growing up. Very simple. When I was young, I learned to listen to my parents through consequence. So I didn't listen. I did the wrong thing. I endured the consequences, and therefore I started to learn what was right. And that's sort of backwards. That's the negative way to learn. But as I got older, I learned to listen to my parents, not through consequence, but through love. Out of respect for my parents and greater love for my parents, when they told me to do something, I would follow through with that. And it's not just sort of practically for me, but you probably do it all the time. You think of the consequences and you avoid things. When you're driving, for those of you who have your license, you only have to be told once to avoid an object, and you don't have to try and hit it to see what happens, right? The consequence is very clear. If you're driving and you're coming up to a barrier, you will stop or you will turn because you know what will happen when you hit that barrier. And in the Christian life, when we read these things of fornication, uncleanness, unthankfulness, they all have consequences. Know what those consequences are. Because when you know what the consequence to these things is, you will have more of a desire to avoid them. Then when you grow in your Christian life, one day, perhaps that's where you are right now, you will avoid these things, not so that you can just avoid the consequence, but because of your greatness for the love of Christ, that you just want to please Him and do as He says, and you will find that you will go astray from these things and closer to Christ because of your love for Him. So that's just a little practical example from my life.